way. So just throwing that out there.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is... Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Let's go.
You heard what he said. Start the
Let's get it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We are officially talking sports with the 12th man on a Tuesday, the 18th. Man, time is flying, and I'm going to check in with my fellas who hopefully won't quit at halftime on me at all. Well, hope you guys going to stay the course, man. Again, what's going on? JQ, how you feeling today, bro?
No, I'm good, man. That dude was crazy today. I'm going up on a Tuesday. And, yeah, man, listen, Tiffany Haddish, if you get rid of this, I think you're funny. I don't care what Cat Williams say. That dude's a mess. Just starting stuff. If you haven't heard it, just Google Williams and Cat Williams on Friday because he killed her. Then they had some foolishness happen over the weekend. But I'm good, bro. I just want to educate the listeners if they hadn't heard about it. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Some foolishness, man. I love it, man. That's a great true statement, man. We're talking about pulling out guns, man. I mean, I got to look that up, man. That was a little crazy, man. So
yeah.
You can't make certain things up, man. The truth, man. So. Nice. Rob Ford, my enemy for the week, bro. What's going on, CD, man?
Enemy for the week. I love it. It's all good. Ready to get this show started. Make it do what it do.
We are ready.
You got a lot of
crazy Rob
stuff that happened in the football world over last weekend.
We got a ton of topics, so it's a lot for us to kind of digest. So we're going to definitely try to get into a lot of it because it's what we do. So let's check in.
This is real reality
reach
television.
Out.
The stuff that's going on in football.
It's almost really unbelievable. Truth is stranger than fiction, as they say, man. We got a lot of truth and a lot of stuff that's just it's mind blowing. But really quickly, before we get started, we'll throw out the numbers like we always do. Hopefully, my man Alex will call in. I know I gave him a shout out last week, unless he's still hurting. But we'll reach out to him with the 424. 243-9519 number. Always reach out to you boys. We always say the trigger has no heart, so if you want to come and talk some foolishness, again, we will drop you like Vontae dropped the Bills. And always follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMNSports. And then finally, go to Facebook.com/12thmansports, or if you type in talking sports with the 12th man, you will find us in that arena as well. Let's do a quick recap, Rob, as far as college football week number 3. Your thoughts, and we'll jump right into it, sir.
Well, I like to start off with the top 25 matchups that we had from this past weekend. We had 3 of them. Let's start off with my Bayou Bengals going on the road into the
surviving
and coming back and getting a 22-21 victory. Obviously, that was a game of runs. Anyway, LSU got off to a 10-0 start, particularly forcing the big turnover on defense. Getting off to a 10-0 lead. And, of course, Auburn's Jarrett Stenham and our offense started getting going a little bit. And they ran off 21 straight and went up 21-10 over LSU. So it was really a kind of a game where LSU dominated the first and fourth quarter and Auburn dominated the second and the third quarter. But the LSU was able to muster to put something together down the stretch, got a field goal to cut it to 21-13. Then the long touchdown pass cut it to 21-19, missed a 2-point conversion. And defense came up big down the stretch, stopping Auburn and giving LSU the ball back. And they were able to go down the field and get a game-winning field goal, 22-21. I tell you what, Joe Burrow, his numbers hasn't been pretty as far as completion percentage. But you have to admire him for his gutsiness and his, staying in it. Keeping the team in the game with leadership and things of that nature. But You would like to see that completion percentage get better because LSU does have some young, talented receivers. And so if they can continue to improve on that area, you know, possibly, you know, we'll see. You know, still a jury, still out on them. As I've said before, we still don't have that elite back that we're used to having. So we just kind of have a running back by committee. And but we'll see how they can move forward. And they at home against Louisiana Tech this coming weekend. So that's a good win for LSU on the road, moving them up to number six. Look at Boise State, number 17, at number 24, Oklahoma State. I thought this game was going to be much closer than what it was, but Oklahoma State just opened up a can of whoop-ass on Boise State. And just, man, it wasn't even pretty. Oklahoma State blocked two punts. One of them they scored a touchdown off of. The other one led to a touchdown. So that accounted for 14 points right there for Oklahoma State. And then this running back from Oklahoma State, Justice Hill, he's the real. He looks like he's the real deal. He was running all over the Boise State defense. So he's the real deal. That Boise State defense is just like cream puffish. So we'll see. But he looked really good running the football against Boise State. And then the last top 25 matchup was Jake Hughes, Ohio State Buckeyes, going on the road and beating TCU. And obviously Dwayne Haskins has proven himself on a regular basis. Ohio State offensively is going to be just tough to stop. Not only does he have the arm strength, but he has the accuracy to throw the deep ball. He can make all the throws. He clearly looks like a guy that's going to play on Sundays eventually. And then the running backs that he have, offensively Ohio State is just going to be tough to stop. Sean Robinson is showing me a little more every week with TCU.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he was pretty good in the game and even in the loss.
Mm-hmm.
But he's getting better and better on a weekly basis as well. So TCU, I mean, I don't think this is the last we'll hear from him. Ohio State was just really just too strong for him, too talented to beat, for TCU to have any chance at a game. So I just wanted to highlight those three games, and that's basically the recap that I have for this past weekend.
Yeah, man. I me and Rob just on pins and needles on Saturday. That was tough because, you know, I was pissed off being down at halftime and watching my defense. They concern me moving forward. That back seven, that front four, if they get both the back, it's still pretty nasty. But that back seven, if they have an Achilles heel, I think that is for them. But Dwayne Haskins just looks like a stud, and he's actually eligible to declare for the draft. And if he keeps this up, I think Ohio State, he's going to be one and done. Because in this void now, where when he had like Drew Locke, and I'm trying to think of somebody else that can really push him, Browning and maybe for the first quarterback taking overall. If he keeps playing like that, I don't expect him to come back to Ohio State. I expect him to declare for the draft. That LSU Auburn game was flat out phenomenal. It was just a typical cool SEC, knockdown, drag out fight. Rob, you know, said it best with the game and runs, but LSU, I called it. I think Joe Burrow is just clutch. He's not always pretty, but he's clutch for him. And since LSU was my team to crash the party, I was like, they made me look correct, and I appreciate that out of Joe Burrow. just a couple ones.
I know. It's funny. On the show last week, you picked LSU. I picked against them. I picked the Bengals, and you picked against them.
Yeah. So, yeah, we picking each other up. Just that's what we do on the show. the other three that I wanted to look at is USC. Goodness gracious, back-to-back weeks. Getting beat by Stanford,
yeah.
He was ranked, but getting whopped by Texas 37-14. I was really surprised that game wasn't closer. I could see Texas winning at home, but I definitely didn't see them winning, you know, by 23. That was crazy. Got to give Washington a lot of credit. Going into Utah and holding them to 7 and putting 21 up on that defense is a very tough place to play. Washington, you talked about it, Rob. You touched on it in the beginning. You were in on Washington. They gave that game away against Auburn. It really could have beaten Auburn. And they go in to beat Utah, who's unranked. But going into Utah is a tough place to play, as most coaches and players will tell you. So I give them a ton of credit for going on the road and beating them. And we got too hyped on Herm Edwards. You know, Pac-12 out the dark, Pac-12 out the dark, losing to San Diego State, just let all the air out the balloon. Woo! It's like, come on, Herm Edwards. You had everybody, you know, behind you. You go in there and do that, lay that egg. So, you know, I guess you got to pump the brakes on them and see how they respond. And lastly, I was completely wrong, and I'll own it. I really thought Boise State was going to be Oklahoma State. Note to self, don't take all the road teams, because that's just not going to happen. I really didn't see Oklahoma State putting it to them like that, so I got to give Gundy a lot of credit for getting them ready. And they got tired of being disrespected. How everybody said Boise State was going to come in there and not just beat them, but probably potentially roll them with that offense behind Griffin. So, you know, shout out to Oklahoma State, you know, for silencing me and everybody like me with a very convincing win over Boise State.
Yeah. And just to touch on that, I know we were going to get to that Texas game in a minute. So since you brought it up, I'll just add a little bit to that. But Ellinger, he looked fantastic for Texas in that game against Texas, the young quarterback, sophomore. He's starting to mature. And, you know, I hate to say it. I've said this before about Texas, that I thought they were turning the corner, but they might be turning the corner. So we'll see.
Nah.
They might be turning the corner. USC is talented, but obviously they got a true freshman at quarterback. And really, as I said before, he's supposed to be a high school senior. And but, you know, we'll see. Yeah, obviously Texas lost on the road at Maryland. But, you know, this was a pretty good win. Ellinger played fantastic throwing the ball and running the ball in that game. And they also got a block punt that he returned. I'm sorry, they blocked a field goal, not a punt. Texas blocked a field goal and also ran it back for a touchdown as well. So you see special teams coming up big for two Big 12 teams, Oklahoma State and Texas. Over the weekend, and you talked about Washington. Washington's front seven on defense is just as good as any front seven in the country. You know, you're not used to saying that about a Pac-12 school, but their front seven on defense is as good as any front seven in the country, and they got a lot of pro players on that defense. So they're going to be a force to be reckoned with going forward, and the committee is not going to hold them. I mean, obviously – you know, they're not going to put too much on that one. If they stay at one loss, they're not going to put a whole lot on that one loss going to Atlanta and losing by 5 points. And, you know, they had a lot of opportunities to win that game as well. And you talked about Mike Gundy as well. Mike Gundy, in my opinion, has always been one of the more underrated coaches. For the most part, he's not getting the 4- and 5-star players that Oklahoma and Texas are getting. He's getting the 3-star players and coaching them up. And to me, he's been one of the best-kept secrets from a head coaching standpoint in college football. He's one of the best in the business, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree. USC, I mean, we might as well just go ahead and finish that off, before, you know, since that's one of it. I blame them, and I blame Coach Hilton for not having a quarterback ready. I mean, that it's just too big for him right now. And it probably should be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It probably should be. Like you said, he should be in high school. So when you see that and you put him out there on that stage, you know, and back up, he's just not ready for it. And you don't want to, you know, kind of, you know, David Carr, where he just gets shell-shocked and he's never going to be that player that you thought he could be. So I'm a little concerned for that, but I blame some of his player development. Of course, you had a stud in Donovan, but you got to have somebody, you know, a sophomore, a junior, somebody in the wings ready and let that kid sit for a year and actually become a college student for real, you know.
Hold on, Jake, hold on, real quick. You're kind of cutting off for us, so I don't know if you're moving or walking or whatever, but your phone's cutting one out, too. So just a little quick update on that, too. So, hopefully JQ is good there. His phone's kind of going in and out.
Yeah.
All right. Rob, are you good?
Yes, everything's good.
Okay, the line's a little weird. Is that just on me, or is that just everyone's line kind of weird? Okay. Is that better?
All right. Well,
yeah.
At least to me, it sounds like both of y'all voices are muffled, so I wonder if it's a block talk thing. I don't know if I sound the same way.
Yeah, all right. We'll check this real quick. We're going to try to, like, power through this as well, too, because I know, JQ, it sounds like you're kind of going out, so hopefully it's not block talk. So we're going to have some serious words. JQ, can you hear me, bro? Making sure that you're good. Okay. At least he said he's going to call back in real quick. Okay, I think he said he's going to call back in, Rob. Can you talk some more, Rob? Make sure you're good.
Where were we? Talking about USC and Texas?
You're fine. It sounded like the line was a little weird. I'm waiting for JQ to call back in, so stay tuned on that, and then we'll keep this moving here. Because I know I think he was kind of wrapping up as far as USC and what, like you just kind of mentioned, that QB is definitely not ready, and, you know, that's kind of more or less on coaching to make sure that he's not ready kind of in that situation too. So that's what I was going to say as I wait for JQ to call back in, that I definitely think that I'm going to reserve judgment on USC because, I mean, Texas, I think it's good, but still, I still think it's USC is not completely the same USC team that we're not the powerhouse this year at least. So So, you know, I'm not a fan of what Texas did to Charlie Strong, man. So, again, that's just kind of me. You can take it or leave it. So, they lose four games. There's JQ.
Yeah, well, first of all, well, I mean, we apologize for the technical difficulties because it sounds as though all of our voices are not coming through clearly. Because even Andre was just now, I was able to pick up some of your words, but not all. So it's it's coming across very muffled, but
choppy.
Hopefully we'll get it fixed out. Hopefully Black Talk will get this fixed. So we do apologize, but if y'all can hear me clearly, in regards to UCLA, I mean, they got bulldogged by Fresno State. I mean, Marcus McMarion, the quarterback for Fresno State, ran all over UCLA, ran over for three touchdowns. And obviously Chip Kelly doesn't have the team that he wants just yet. They're there in UCLA. I mean, he's 0-3, and they look bad in all three games. So it looks like it's going to be a very long, long, long season for the UCLA Bruins. And you see both UCLA and USC off to a rough start so far in Los Angeles. So all is not well in the City of Angels when it comes to college football, with USC 1-2 and UCLA 0-3. And they have not looked good either.
Yeah. JQ, you back, bro?
I'm back. I'm sorry. You know, damn T-Mobile.
Oh,
I had to restart the phone. My connection was just jacked up. Yeah, I heard what you just said, Robin. Yeah, it's very akin to me to what's going on in the state of Florida with Miami, Florida, and Florida State. Miami
gosh,
won.
That's crazy.
With Toledo. Yeah, that you have these, you know, California and Florida, the flashy schools and these two rich historic programs with this, you know, recruiting talent in the backyard, just off to a hellacious start. You got the quarterback's dad calling out Chip Kelly. It's bad. Like I said,
yeah.
With USC, you've got to have somebody in the wings. You know Darnold's leaving. How you don't have anybody else coached up or in the program at the sophomore or kind of junior level to step into that void and put it on the kid who should still be in high school. It's just too big for them. So, yeah, there's some major storylines playing out with some blue bloods just struggling here in college football, you know, through week three.
And you know what, JQ, it's interesting because I'm sure that you're watching practices and stuff like that. So you got to see what's happening with that, right? I mean, I'm sure you're watching practice. Like, okay,
yeah.
This kid is not ready, or maybe you just don't have anybody. That's the only thing I can think about, because is that freshman better than what you have? And like you said, just to echo what you are saying, JQ, you have nobody, that is poor coaching, because you've got to have at least a sophomore or junior in there, and don't throw him to the wolves, man. It's kind of crazy, man. So that is – you didn't it's mind-blowing. So,
And USC had an open competition at quarterback all through the offseason.
That's USC.
It was between three quarterbacks. And, they had – supposedly it was really close. And in my opinion, if it's really close, they probably should go one of the guys. They can settle them down at the quarterback position a little bit. But but also, if you've seen that game, USC struggled on defense as well. And that was supposed to be one of their strengths. I mean, from a personnel standpoint, that was supposed to be one of their strengths this year. And Texas really manhandled them on the line of scrimmage and moved the ball with them through the air and running the football. So that's also got to be very concerning for USC as well, because from a personnel perspective, that's supposed to be one of their strengths this year too.
You just wonder how far they've fallen,
because,
like I said, that's cut you off, JQ. It's mama, because, again, I mean, no matter what, they've kind of taken probably a step back slightly, but you're just thinking that USC can get talent. They can get talent. You know, you should be able to get a quarterback somewhere, you know, so – I don't know. It's just really mind-blowing as far as that. Go ahead, Jake. I didn't mean to cut you off, sir.
Yeah, just my final piece of it. You should be at the point where you almost have one dude who doesn't get named starting quarterback want to transfer. Like, you're supposed to have that kind of talent in your big program to where that second guy's like, you know what? I can go somewhere else and start. I'm that good, and I can go there and start and make a difference.
I'm ready.
If you don't have that, then you're not doing your job as a head coach, and your recruiting is not doing a job. Because, I mean, he may end up being a guy in 2 or 3 years, but you may not be long enough to see it if you're Clay Helton, if you come here and have this kind of season, and that dude's a still while you're sitting on the sidelines and maybe doing some TV work because you got fired.
Oh, wow. There it is. All right, gentlemen, good call. I'm glad it seems like the technical difficulties have been solved. I'm knocking on wood, so let's get going here. Let's talk about some college football recaps here this weekend. And we're just really quickly, JQ, we're just wrapping up how Chip Kelly, that's crazy too as well. We'll talk about that later on too, but just that's really challenging as well for UCLA and USC, that's powerhouses, and they're having some struggles right now. That could be, like we said, the new coaching and everything like that. All right, let's talk about some
Chip Kelly's case, he's got to get the personnel that he wants to run his system, so they got to give him time
100%.
For that.
100%.
Yeah.
So, again, we're not completely crapping on, but I just think the expectations from where you came from, Oregon, that was, he had it humming. So, like you said, you can't come in and expect that to happen in 1 year. So, this is a little bit more challenging than expected. All right, let's talk about some games.
And just on another thing you got to keep in mind, too, when he was at Oregon, when he took over the head coaching job at Oregon, he was already on the staff as offensive coordinator. So it was almost like a transition. They were already recruiting the personnel that he needed. And in his case, he's walking in from day one. So you have to keep that in mind. Like I say, he was offensive coordinator on that staff in Oregon even before he became the head coach. So they already had his personnel in place.
Why don't you send a note to Michael Robinson and let him know about that. Try Rob to kind of clear that up as far as his dad, man, kind of make sure everything is good. So let him know, yo, bro, things take some time.
Yeah.
All good. Mm-hmm. All right. Good call. Keep it going. Let's talk about some big games that are happening this weekend. For the top 25, we got number 22, Texas A&M, at number 1, Alabama. I got to tell you guys, whenever I was looking at the recaps, and it was hilarious, not in a bad way, but watching, like, the first play from a scrimmage from Ole Miss hits that, 75-yard touchdown, something crazy. They're all going,
yes.
The place is going crazy. They're like, oh, that was the only point they scored, guys. 60-something points later, man, Alabama looks like a machine. Now, Texas A&M, we talked about their last great game against Clemson, so we talk about a loss being a win. What say you? This is a pretty interesting matchup right out the gate for Texas A&M, Rob.
It's Alabama.
Right.
We know they're going to pull it off,
It's Alabama. I mean, I hate to say it. I don't like the Gumps. But, I mean, they got a machine going on. Tua's playing fantastic as well. And even though they're a little bit younger on defense than they've been on the years past, but it's still Nick Saban. It's still Alabama. They still just rolling out 4 and 5-star recruits, and they're coaching them up as well. I think they're going to be too much for Texas A&M. I mean, I can see them winning this game by 14 to 20 points. And Alabama coasting the victory in this game as well. I don't think it's going to be 62-7 like you saw against Ole Miss, but I see a 14-20-point victory for Alabama at home in this game over Texas A&M.
I only see it being 14-20 if Alabama takes their foot off the gas and putting their third stringers and Texas A&M is able to capitalize off some of their mistakes. I think Alabama rolls by 20-plus points. In Tuscaloosa? Yeah, no. I just don't think Texas A&M has the depth. Not many teams do, so that's not a knock on Texas A&M. That's just a statement of fact. There's only maybe a handful of teams, a couple, that you can say may be almost as talented as Alabama is at the bottom, and that's not Texas A&M. I think Alabama wins.
Big. We know they're going to win. It was just more or less that, we're just seeing what this is a good measuring stick. See how far you got to catch up. Hey, let's keep this going here. Next game, number 7, Stanford at number 20, Oregon. What say you, JQ, about this one?
Well, I tell you what, Eugene's a tough place to play, but I mean, I guess at some point I got to pick Stanford. I picked against them twice, and they had done nothing but make me look like a fool. I just don't know if Oregon is truly back yet. So I'm going with Stanford, and I think it's going to be a close game. I think that Stanford defense is a little bit better, and they're going to be able to slow Oregon down some. Watch now, I pick them, they lose. But I'm going to go with Stanford. I'm going to ride the hot hand of Stanford. I don't think Oregon's back
today. Nice. Nice.
I tell you what, this is a game that I've really struggled with as far as from a predicting standpoint. Oregon, they're not the Oregon of what we saw, as we just talked about on Chip Kelly, where they like to spread them out and things of that nature. They're actually playing power football now, similar to what Stanford likes to do. And so I think that's concerning because I don't think they can beat Stanford at their own game, even though they're at home. And JQ makes a great point. I mean, Autzen Stadium is a very tough place to go on the road and get a victory. But, Oregon has changed their style of play. Their offensive line is still not as good as Stanford's. And, I mean, they're changing their philosophy. They've really become a power football team. And Justin Herbert is actually a very good quarterback, too, for Oregon. But I just think Stanford is better at playing that game than what Oregon is. And I think Stanford goes on a roll. Close game. I'm going to say 24-20. But I did struggle with this prediction, but I'm going to go with Stanford.
It's hard to trust anybody.
Nice call.
Well.
Yeah. Right. It's still post kind of early, too, right? You're trying to – I'm sure that folks trying to get in there, they kind of got their sea legs. They're trying to figure out what style and everything like that. I agree with you, Rob. You got, like, it feels like a schoolyard fight where somebody's trying to buck up against the bully, and he hopes the bully didn't hit him back. So that's kind of how Oregon's like, we can do this, and until you get hit, then, you know, we'll see how it plays out, too, man. Trying to, like, perpetrate a little bit, man, versus that style with Stanford, as you mentioned, Rob. So right now, Stanford's doing it longer, man. So, yeah,
even though both teams are undefeated, I haven't been overly impressed with either team just yet this year.
Yeah, all good. All right, so we're going to talk about some NFL here, and we got about 18 minutes left in the show. Gentlemen, just kind of give you a quick time check, if you will. And let's talk about some interesting happening, and I know this is making JQ very happy about what's happening with Pittsburgh. He's not losing any sleep over this, man, because they look like they're just in an interesting upheaval. Now you got Antonio Brown not showing up for today, and are the Steelers missing Le'Veon Bell? Now, not to be like that guy, you know, since I drafted Le'Veon, come on, bro. It's an interesting scenario. what say you about this, Rob, with the Steelers?
It's very interesting. I mean, James Conner has actually played very well in Le'Veon Bell's absence. But, I mean, Le'Veon Bell, when he's in there, he's still the best in the business outside of Todd Gurley. And so I would say, of course, when you have a weapon like that, you're definitely missing him. And James Conner can actually come in the reserve role, and you not miss too much of a beat. So, obviously, if they had them both, I think it would be a nice 1-2 punch for the Steelers. But he's played well, but they're most certainly missing Le'Veon Bell out of that offense. And you can see, that there's some elements that he brings that they're missing. But also, I mean, you got to look – Pittsburgh had opportunities against Cleveland. They turned over the ball like 5 times in that game. At some point, you got to look at yourself and say, hey, that's the game we should have won. And then against the Chiefs, you know, you got to, even though Patrick Mahomes is playing outstanding, you got to figure out defensively how can you get some of those stops and help get a win there too. So even though they're 0-1-1, I still don't think they're that far off. We'll just have to see if Le'Veon Bell is going to report and if he reports in enough for them to turn the season around. But if you look at both of these games, they're not that far off from possibly turning it around as well.
Yeah, I'm not crying for him. No, not at all. But I totally agree. I don't think offensively they're that far away, but defensively they are. Yeah, listen, unless Le'Veon Bell is coming back to play cornerback or safety, you can't let somebody come into your backyard and throw 6 touchdown passes on you. I mean, that ain't got nothing to do with Le'Veon Bell. I mean, maybe you can hold the ball longer so that, you know, Patrick Mahomes isn't on the field as much. So I can give you that piece of it. But when your defense is on the field, you can't get shredded like that. I mean, that's historic. 6 touchdowns in at Heinz Field. I mean, that's crazy. So, I mean, I do think they miss him. There's got to be something going on because you saw Antonio Brown beefing with the coordinator on the sideline there, and then he doesn't show up on Monday, and they say, oh, well, it was personal. Yeah, it was personal because he don't like that mofo, so he didn't show up. You can tell him whatever you want to, but that's too much. That's too close together to be a coincidence. I just don't believe that. So, yeah, they miss him, but they also miss some secondary help as well. I mean, they give up 21 to Cleveland in the rain, they give up 42 to Kansas City. You just can't have that.
And Mahomes has 10 touchdown passes in 2 games. Wow.
Yeah, when's the last time? I think it's something crazy that they didn't beat the Steelers and such, you know, and I got to check the actual stat about that. But and I got Mahomes as my fantasy guy, man, fantasy quarterback, man. So, yeah, all is well.
Yeah, I have him in one league. It worked out for my advantage in one league, but I went against JQ in another, and it didn't go to my advantage in another.
The one I won was Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's true. Right. I do
when
off,
I want
to
my
home
crazy. Yeah.
Touchdowns. I wonder if anyone's going to pick up Ryan Fitzpatrick yet, man. We'll talk about that again as well, man. And I know, JQ, you said it. What you said is in the back of my mind. I'm like, dude, the magic is still happening, man. We'll talk about that in a quick second too, man. But again, like you said, JQ, yeah, Le'Veon can't play defense. Steelers looked. There's a couple things that's wrong. What's happening with that? And I don't think the Bell thing is definitely happening or definitely helping. But again, like I said, JQ is not. he's not crying over that. Let's talk about a couple of predictions.
Love
here.
It.
I'm gonna grab this quick call here, and like I said, we'll see how this plays out. We got a quick second to see how it is. Looks like this call's from Florida here, but we'll see. Oh, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Who am I speaking with?
Oh, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
We're good. Jim, what's right? going on?
Corey calling out Atlanta, man.
What's up,
Corey?
Corey?
Purple Knight in the house.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
What's
yes, sir. Yes. What's going on, big brother? I'm just riding with y'all, man. I want to you got a couple things you're going to talk about. I wanted to say something about.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Okay.
What's your thoughts?
You know, keep talking. I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. But even like, you know, Vontae retiring at half, that was a big one for me right there.
How so?
Do anything like that or attempt something like that, but you know, it
that was totally
it
disrespectful.
Man, that was
huge.
I've never. To me, that reminds me of Jim Mora. You know, when they quitting in the middle of the season and you couldn't take any more. You know, that it's something rare, it's something huge, but it really speaks volume.
You know what the thing about Corey that I thought about it is you just didn't come to that realization, you know, at halftime of that game. Like if something that magnitude of walking away from the NFL, like that's been on your mind,
yeah.
You know what I mean, for some weeks, if not some months that you thought about this. So you've got to be more, you know, truthful with yourself when you look in the mirror. Like, you know, this ain't for me no more. But once you lace it up and you go in the heat of battle with the fellas, you got to at least ride that game out. I mean, and then if you want to retire at the end of the game and not make it through the season, I can respect that. But just to take your pads off and be like, you know what, I'm hitting Whataburger, I'm out. Like, you just can't do that.
Yeah.
How did you rebound from
that? Vontae Davis, he's been in the league about 10 years now, and obviously he's a veteran that's, you know, the last stages of his career. Buffalo will hope him to get maybe one good year out of him, and they just got one half out of him.
He's been awful, too. He's been awful.
Do you have anything to say?
Yeah.
You want to keep adding on? What's your thoughts about it? Go ahead. Is Corey still with us? Did he jump off?
Yeah,
Corey?
I'm still with y'all. I'm going to call y'all back. Y'all about to wrap up.
I'm going to stir up the pot a little bit here, Story. Who are you picking between Saints and the Falcons this Sunday?
Here we go.
Uh-oh.
I live in Atlanta, 12 years strong. Rob, I mean, it's hard, man. I'm surrounded by dirty birds, but I don't. I'm more worried about Tampa Bay again than I am about this.
Right.
Falcons twice. Tell you the truth.
You say you're worried about Tampa Bay as opposed to what?
I'm worried
about
playing Falcons again, as opposed to playing Atlanta twice. I'm not really worried about playing Atlanta because they'll self destruct. They're on the mission to self destruct. Defense falling apart. Freeman gonna be out 3-4. They're gonna self destruct. It's coming. But Calvin Ridley looked great. Calvin Ridley looked really great. Alabama, shout out Crimson Tide and the Roll Tide. I love Ridley, man. He's sparked life in the team. I'm happy to see certain players in Atlanta. But let's go Saints. 27-24.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
that sounds like a setup, Corey. You're still cool with me. You know you're a Saints fan, bro. So it's all good, man. So, I'm gonna let you slide. And of course, Rob had to ask it since he knew that you were a Saints fan. And objectively, yeah. I mean, like I said, again, I got to say the reason I'm nervous is because we don't have Debo. Because Debo's been like the Saints killer, man. So, defensively, we're It's going to be a shootout, man, and I don't really trust my squad as well, man. As much as I hope to admit this great game, but it's too iffy right now. So I don't know. We'll see. All good, bro. Anything else before we let you go? Good. Huh?
I'm sorry, nobody's going to walk over NFC South. I don't know who you're going to play. Even Carolina's been up and down, but Tampa, the way nobody's winning over anybody. Saints, Falcons, you got to bring your best game.
Yeah.
You play anyone.
And even from the Saints perspective, I mean, the Saints haven't really played particularly well either in these first couple of games, so there's still a lot of room for improvement from the Saints perspective as well. And and there's you got to be concerned about the way the secondary has played so far here for the Saints after having such a great year last year. Lattimore has looked a little shaky in the first couple of weeks. And the Saints, I think, only have one sack in two games. I may be off a little bit, but I can only recall one sack in his first two games. And then the running game, it's not the same without Ingram right now so far, too. So there are still some concerns with the Saints. I still believe that they'll turn it around, but they are off to a little bit of a slow start, too.
And the thing that's scary,
I think
too,
the problem
too. Yeah, go ahead, Jake Kelly.
Yeah, I think the problem with the Falcons is the fact that, you know, that you've lost it up the middle. You've lost, you know, Keanu Neal, and you lost Deion Jones, and they're the anchors, the middle linebacker and your strong safety. And then you lose to Detroit today on IR. I think that, to me, is what tilts the favorite to the Saints, is that even though the Saints haven't been playing as well as they did defensively, they're still healthy and they can still turn it around. But when you lose two key cogs off that defense against going against Drew Brees, and, you know, I talk about it all the time, when you talk about beating an elite quarterback, you gotta bring your A game. And when you don't have those two guys, it takes something out of it, takes a little steam out of it. So I you know, I live here. I like the Falcons. The Bengals are my team, but I like the Falcons. But I think Drew Brees and them they just find a way to get out of that funk. And maybe they need to leave. Maybe they need to leave. You know, the Superdome and get on the road and galvanize and come together that kind of way. So I think it's a close game. I don't know if they're going to score as many points as we think, just because of the efficiencies that y'all have both talked about. We're still trying to figure some things out. But I can't take Sarkisian in a big game. I just have zero trust in that dude as a play caller.
Yeah, he hasn't proved it. And then the thing that's interesting, we're going to get back to Saints because, again, I got to be honest with that because Saints, Lord have mercy, you guys almost gave one up to the Browns, man. That was definitely surprising. Not to say that the Browns are like chopped liver, but it was like, wow. I mean, you guys were in a dogfight, and that was just an amazing play. Not to keep bringing that up, guys, but it was just like, wow. And, you know, obviously the kicker's missing kicks, and it's been a kicker league, if you will, the past week, and there's been some adjustments for that too. But like you said, I mean, I don't know if it's more or less a shock from that perspective, you know, looking at the Bucks, because, yeah, they're playing a lot of confidence right now, or it's just like you said, just defensively there's some challenges on that front too, man. So, man.
I tell you what, yeah, Cleveland's going to give a lot of people fits. We talked about the Jets being that team that you're going to ultimately beat at the end of the game, but they're going to be in the game for no reason because that defense is going to be spunky and play you tough. And you're like, God damn, why are the Browns and the Jets playing me tough? They're interesting, they're telling each other on Thursday. I think the Browns might also be that team where they may not get the wins to show for it, but you're going to look up and be like, okay, that Browns team is not as bad as they used to be, but just not good enough yet to close out games. So I don't know if you can necessarily point that on that. You know what I mean? I think they're a better team than they were last year or the past 2 years.
Oh, absolutely. Well, one thing I see from the first two games on the Browns, just from watching them play, the personnel is there. When you look at their line, the Browns may have one of the better defensive line in the league, quietly, and they may have one of the better offensive line in the league, too, quietly. And obviously, I mean, Tyrod Taylor is not the best of quarterbacks, but, you know, if he's efficient and don't turn the ball over, Jarvis Landry out on the perimeter now, David and Uoko, and the cornerback Ward from Ohio State. He's been impressive here in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, didn't work.
So obviously, from the Saints, you don't want to be that first team to lose to them, but it's just a matter of time before. I mean, I can still see the Browns pulling off 5 or 6 wins this year. I really can.
Right.
Five or six? Wow. Okay. All right.
They're going to beat the Bengals at least one in Cleveland. That might be their first win, but they're going to beat the Bengals in Cleveland. It's going to happen. I know it.
Wow.
That's what we do. We're going to make stupid records that you don't want to be a part of. I'm just being honest with you. And it'll probably be Baker Mayfield.
Right. Well, I'm impressed with the Bengals so far. I'll tell you that.
All right.
Yeah, we'll see. Carolina.
Keep it on.
Josh, you put that on there. Did Josh really get – picked up by the Patriots? I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
They traded a fifth-round pick for him.
Mm-hmm. That happens. Rich keep getting richer, man. We were saying that's
that's a bad.
I mean,
match,
this is
right?
Risky by the Patriots. Gordon is mm-hmm. ultra talented, but shucks, he's only caught the ball with 40 something times in the last 4 years. He's been mostly out of the league. He hadn't had a big year since 2013. Obviously, this is a risk. The Patriots desperately need help at the receiver position, so they're taking a chance. But so we haven't seen anything out of Gordon since 2013. That's 5 years ago. And, I mean, he, you know, so it's obviously a risk that the Patriots are willing to take and see what they can get out of him. But, you know, we'll see. This is not Randy Moss.
He never had time to
throw
the ball.
mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm. All right. All good. Hey, we got 3 minutes here, Rob. Let's go ahead and wrap up. Let's get the fantasy shout-outs, and we'll get ready for the OT portion. And, Corey, if you want to hang on, that's cool. If not, you can jump off, and we'll always enjoy appreciate you calling in for sure, man.
Appreciate you calling, Corey.
Yeah, man. I wanted to stay in touch. On OT, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we, thank you, fellas. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, man,
right.
Appreciate,
appreciate it, Corey. Go Saints.
This Joker.
All right. League number one in our fantasy shout-outs.
I'm going to have
Mark
call
of the week.
This week.
Hmm?
Oh, God. Go ahead, Rob. Go,
I have my
Falcon
fan calling
you,
next week. Yeah.
If you count on Mark, you're in trouble.
ooh.
It doesn't have to be Mark. Just stay tuned. Keep going, bro. Do your fantasy shout-outs, coach. Man, finish up.
All right. The Gurley and Cumps had the biggest win of the week. That's Will out of Madison, Wisconsin. He beat Big Fast and Strong 168.40 to 116.76. Eagles Chicks for Life is in first place in that league, 2-0. She's out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. League number two, Kid Kev.
Shout out Eagles Chicks.
That's the biggest win. He beat ATL Black Belt, speaking to Mark, 145.56 to 100.74. Punk Smash, Chester is in first place out of New Orleans, 2-0 record. League number three, L's Coalholics. That's L out of New Orleans as well, the 163.14 win over Irvin's team, 104.10. Sean out of Atlanta, Enola for Life, is in first place with a 2-0 record. In league number four, yours truly, I had the biggest win of the week, Fire on the Bayou, 188.18 to 65.44 over Baby Got Backfield. Co-host Andre is in first place in our league with a 2-0 record. So those are our picks. And we're getting ready to wrap up our live portion. We're going to try to do a speed rush in our OT to cover the topics. We got a lot of football to still get into in our OT portion. So you definitely want to click on the same link on tomorrow. And like I said, we got a lot of hot topics in football. There's a lot of craziness going on in the football world this past weekend, and we're going to try to cover as much of it as possible in our OT portion. So you definitely want to click on the same link to get the rest of the show on tomorrow. We're making football great again, people. Good night.
Yes, sir, man. Can you just get one team name? Why you got to have 85 different names for all your teams? Just get one name and stay with it. Good Lord, you know, just, you know, Drunk on Bourbon Street in first place, you know. LSU, you know, mascot, you know, the biggest win in the league.
You're talking about me.
You're
talking about Andre.
Because
we both have different teams.
I'm talking about both of y'all. Just get one damn name and stick with it. I don't know who the hell I'm playing when I play y'all, because y'all got 85 different damn team names. But I appreciate y'all.
I know it's easy for me to remember the leagues. It's easy for me to remember the leagues by the different team names.
That's what I do. I'm the same way, bro. Literally, because we've got like, I think we've got some leagues that we inherited from other things. So that's kind of how, literally, whenever me and Rob were in another league, I was, you know, he used to always say straight cash homie, man. So that just stuck, man. So it just makes sense to keep that one for that league. And then, you know, I always make fun of Rob, but playoffs, you know, so I had to do that one. And then, you know, it just kind of like happened. So. That's the, like, I, with Rob, 100%, that's how I know I'm in this league. This is league number two. I know what squad is based upon my team name. So,
gracious. I was like, I didn't even all play this week.
You better be glad I didn't pull out TJ Who's Your Mama back in the day, man, because that was hilarious, man. You know, so, but, yeah. You remember that back in the day? TJ Who's Your Mama?
I will give y'all that because I didn't alert and I have no league what it is. Yeah, I get alerts because I have no idea what league it is because all of them are the Ohio players. I got to go look at it like, okay, this is league number two because I didn't know which state it was. Hey, I'm sorry.
Y'all know one of the things defensive tackle's name is, right? The guy from Africa, right?
What's his name?
David on your mama.
No, it's not.
Shut
no,
up.
It's not. No, it's not.
Go look it up, man.
No, it's not. He's
I'm
late,
not,
man. You always make it up crowd, man. Come on, bro.
Go ahead.
I got time for this foolishness. Hey, really quickly, we already hit a couple things. Dude, we really got to hit speed mode here. All right, really quickly, let's talk about some quick games here. Because I know we kind of talked about a couple things here with, you know, Josh Gordon. We'll touch on that really briefly and what's happening to Patrick Mahomes. Let's get to these games real quick. 49ers at the Chiefs. We talked about what's been happening. 49ers had a social game, apparently, according to my father-in-law. Patrick Mahomes, man, he's on fire right now. What do you think is going to happen to this game, Rob?
Oh, I like the Chiefs to go 3-0. That Mahomes machine is rolling. Talked about it the first couple of weeks of preseason. He looked shaky with his accuracy, but, man, he is on fire right now, proving me wrong on a regular basis. And I tell you, that ball comes out of his hand better than any quarterback I've seen in a long time. He has got a gun for an arm.
Not a whole lot to add to that. I'm not betting against that hot hand. And Garoppolo real quietly, like, has not really been playing that great. And you say, okay, mm-hmm. Minnesota the first game. That Detroit defense got shredded by Sam Darnold, and he didn't shred them. So, yeah, until I see anything different, I'm going with Mahomes and that Kansas City offense.
Yeah, and I've seen it too. Yeah, Robbie's telling you about to say something too. It sounds like I think that some teams are getting some film on Garoppolo, trying to figure him out, so he has to make some slight adjustments. So that's what I think is kind of happening with him too. And then also, you know, receivers dropping balls, and, you know, just it's just not the best right now too. So that's what's happening with the 49ers. And I think, Rob, you called it too, that they're going to catch up to him. That's kind of what happened too. So all good. Interesting game, gentlemen. The Colts at the Eagles, and we haven't really talked a lot about Carson Wentz. The Eagles made the announcement that he is now officially ready to go, maybe hoping to inject some life into that squad. So his first game back, JQ, maybe this is kind of targeted for this, but what do you think happens in this particular matchup?
Yeah, I just don't trust the Indianapolis defense. I mean, I know they beat the Redskins. I still don't trust them. That's always been one of their Philly fields. And until I see them do it, I just think Carson Wentz is going to come back. I think we just kind of played it slow with him. But once Tampa Bay got in that butt, they were like, okay, yeah, we can't do this before with Nick Foles. So I believe Carson Wentz comes back. I think Carson Wentz is a little bit more ready. Maybe Deshaun Watson could have, you know, took a couple more games because he hasn't looked great for Houston. But I think Carson Wentz come back and they win that game. I just am not a believer in that Indianapolis defense.
Okay, we'll see you, Rob.
I agree. I like the Eagles to bounce back after the loss to the Tampa at home, getting Carson Wentz back. And obviously, we don't know what kind of shape Wentz is in yet, but I'm sure the Eagles will be smart with the game planning and how to use them. But I think ultimately the Eagles win with defense in this game. I'm going to say a close win, 21-17 Eagles.
He's talking about they're going to bounce back. All right, let's talk about the next squad here.
Come on, this guy.
Let's talk about the Packers and the Redskins here. And I know that looked like, Aaron Rodgers was not happy at all to get that tie, man. I think we were kind of curious about the NFL, give them credit. They had a lot of big games the first couple weeks, man, and this was an interesting matchup versus a really talented Vikings defense. I'm sure someone was picking the Packers kind of have some challenges. But, what do you think is going to happen versus the Redskins? And I know the Redskins having Rob, what are you calling this, man?
I like the Packers to go on the road and get this win over the Redskins. And obviously the Redskins fell back down to earth a little bit this past week. And I like the Packers. I think they get the job done. They bounce back and go on the road and win.
Bounce back.
I mean, I don't know if you necessarily have to bounce back from a tie. We got to talk about that. That rough in the past on Clay Matthews. That is just egregious.
That was
terrible. I don't know what else you want to do.
Terrible.
And it cost them a win. They got a tie, but it cost them a win because they took him off, Kirk Cousins off on that play. And then all went for naught. Didn't hit Thielen for that crazy pass down the sideline. But all that being said, I agree. That Washington defense is not on the level as the Minnesota defense. Aaron Rodgers is still hobbled, but if you watch some of that game I did on the red zone, he was still efficient enough to be able to, you know, buy himself time by hopping around the pocket and still throwing down to his wide receivers. He just ran to a pretty good defense in Minnesota, and he still really should have gotten the win. So, to me, Green Bay wins this game by 10.
Yeah. Terrible call. I'm glad we mentioned that too, man, because, you know, first, the previous week, you know, like you said, yeah, I learned from that. And this week, it was just, I don't know what else you do, man. I think it's Rob sent that text about the NFL rules. Now you got to count to the 7 Mississippi. It's getting bad, man. They got to figure this out, man, 100%.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they get the calls correct, too. There's a couple of makes you question. We'll talk about the Kazem hit, the Monte Kazem hit. That was clearly a certain calls that are easy to make, but it's making the game kind of hard to watch, man, honestly, man. So I'm not happy about that. Let's quickly here. We talked about – I don't know if you want to add on to that as far as the inning and the tie. Just if you want to talk about that too, JQ, I'll let you guys talk about that, and I won't spend too much time on that. But your floor.
It's just the kickers. I mean, Minnesota should – I mean, after they got that, you know, bunny of a call, they should have won that game. Their kicker is awful, and now he's out of work. So, you know, the show plus the kicker, when you start missing kicks like that, yeah, you're not going to make it. There's nothing else to really be said about it. You know, him and Gonzalez from Cleveland just really, in other words, say they shit the bed on kicks they got to make for their teams in those situations. That's why you're an NFL kicker. You got to make those kicks. So they're fortunate to get out of there with a tie and not a loss, even though they should have had a win, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on the Clay Matthews. I mean, basically, those are the key points that I was going to touch on from this game. The three missed field goals by Daniel Carlson, the kicker of the Vikings, who JQ just mentioned was released. And then also the horrible penalty against Clay Matthews. I mean, that has to be one of the worst penalties I've ever seen in football. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I said this before, but, man, we might as well put skirts on the quarterback. I mean, that was just a horrible call in that situation. I mean, you know, and those are really just the key points I was going to mention in the game. And I mean, the kicker cost Minnesota. That dumb penalty cost the Vikings. And I guess that's how you end up with a tie.
Pretty much.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, let's talk about this amazing, strong defense, man, of the Rams, man. I mean, just, I know at first they were having some challenges getting some players locked down with Aaron Donald, and now just, you know, you had a two-headed monster with Dominic Sue and Donald. I mean, right now, they clearly beefed up adding Peters and, you know, your boy Talib. So right now, mm-hmm. they're kind of living up to billing, because on paper, they look strong, but on paper versus playing on the field, it's two different things, man. So what do you think about the defense, Rob?
Well, they've been outstanding. I mean, they first forced 5 turnovers against the Cardinals this past week. Sam Bradford looks awful. You got to wonder if Arizona is the time to go to Rosen. And I would say yes, in my opinion, for Arizona's sake. I mean, Sam Bradford only threw for like 90 yards or 93 yards passing or something like that in this game. You got nothing to lose for Arizona right now. I would turn it over to Josh Rosen, who I was actually quite impressed with in the preseason. You know, I mentioned that Mahomes, I was not earlier, but I was pretty impressed with the way Rosen looked in the preseason. And I saw him firsthand against the Saints, too. And I think it's time for Arizona. But the Rams so far defensively, the competition hasn't been that stiff. But they have looked outstanding on the defensive side of the football and all three levels of their defense as well. So they put together an all-star defense. And so far they're living up to the billing from the defensive line standpoint. They're forcing turnovers. They're doing everything that's expected of them. And so far, early in the year, they're looking like that Super Bowl contender that we all thought they would be.
Yeah. and I'm not too much to add to that. I agree. My spin on it is, you know, they paid for those guys. Those guys are living up to the billing, like you said, but they did what they were supposed to do because Oakland really isn't scaring anybody. They're 0-2. And Arizona's also 0-2 and just looking like they're destined for the number one pick in the draft. That they are a hot dumpster fire.
I think Buffalo
beat on that. That's going to be a race. I give you that. Those two, I think, you know, are your top two right now. They just don't look like an NFL team when you watch them play. And I also think it's going to be time for Rosa, but he's not going to be worth enough to get them over that hump. They just look really bad,
no.
And they're wasting David Johnson. So, you know, a cast off to the Rams for taking care of business like they were supposed to, but I reserve a little judgment on making sure those guys are matching the way we think they should when they play some more upper echelon teams.
Hold on, guys. I'm just checking to see if Ryan Fitzpatrick is available to pick up here in my squad here. Oh, what's going on? Ryan Fitzpatrick, 4 TDs against the Eagles, man.
Thanks for telling us your secret.
You know I'm just joking, clearly. You know I'm just joking. But, I mean, on a serious note, man, that press conference, the way that Fitzgerald has been playing, you got to wonder seriously about Jameis Winston. And I know in the back of my head, we talked about this, JQ, that, you know, Mr. Fitzpatrick is going to come down to earth. But right now, he's got that team very loose. And as Corey said, you know, should we be concerned about Tampa Bay? What's up with that, JQ?
The thing about it is that I'm sorry, and I hate the rain on the parade, but I've seen this before where he gets in these rhythms for 3 or 4 games, and then he comes back 2 games, and you're like, oh, my God, was that the same dude? But I'm going to give him a ton of credit right now. I mean, if it wasn't for Patrick Mahomes, we're talking about it, but he would be the quarterback story because he's got 8 touchdowns through 2 weeks. You know, it's just that Mahomes has 10, and he's a rookie, so he's getting that, you know, more of the press. But, you know, Fitzmagic has been balling out. You know, you get DeSean Jackson saying, yeah, you can't take that dude out. And then you show up to the press conference in DeSean Jackson's jacket with his gold chains. Listen, Ryan has that team loose and all in. I was like, when your quarterback does that and you know, DeSean Jackson came out to the press conference with his shirt on, like, man, well, you know, you got my chains in my jacket. Like, that camaraderie, that chemistry to talk about is there with them right now. And I saw something that DeSean Jackson has his best games in Tampa when Fitzpatrick is the quarterback. So they definitely have something building right there between the two of them. But he's doing what he's doing, so I'm not gonna rain on it. I just, again, I reserve judgment because I've seen him do that for spurts throughout his career. And normally also in Cincinnati, then you're like, yeah, this dude might be the dude. We might not need to look for it, another QB. And then he goes back to being Ryan Fitzpatrick from Harvard, and you're like, that's why he's a backup. You know, that sometimes the guys are just a backup and they're good for 3 to 5 games, and then they can't do it for 16. And I just think he's one of those guys, but I give him a ton of credit for it. None of us gave Tampa a chance with that opening schedule. None of us gave him a chance. They also got to play Pittsburgh, I believe, on Monday night, starting off. So, you know, just to be 2-1, you know. Yeah, and they might. So I give him a ton of credit.
Yeah. Well, he had a triple sack that he went to Harvard. He's trying to see if guys from Harvard can't play football.
I'm just going with the stats.
So he says.
Well, you know what's interesting about this Tampa Bay? You know, JQ for the last couple of years been picking Tampa Bay to win the division. And and the reason being, I can see why you have, because when you look at the offensive personnel, the weapons are there. DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans, and Howard, and even Cameron Brate, they have 2 really good tight ends. But there's another receiver. What's the guy named Penn State?
Yeah.
Yes.
Goodwin? Godwin?
Godwin. Chris Godwin. I'm about to say I had the name on the tip of my tongue. He has been a surprise. Man, they are loaded with weapons offensively. And, you know, you were just waiting for them to have that breakout for, you know, we didn't know if Winston was going to be the guy that could deliver it. But, I mean, all of those weapons right now are thriving, and they're hard to cover right now. And the Eagles, even with their defense, they struggle with covering those receivers as well and those weapons that they have right now. So, Fitzpatrick, I'm going to say it's a safe bet, even after 2 games, that Winston will not be the starting quarterback week 4. Fitzgerald will remain the starter. I think you have to see him have multiple games in a row where he just doesn't play well before they even think about going back to Winston. And I agree with Corey. I think Tampa's going to be a tough out this year. And, I mean, those guys, they have weapons all over the field offensively in the passing game. They're going to be a tough cover with those 3 wide receivers and those 2 tight ends that they have. There's not too many teams in the league that have those kind of weapons. You can probably say the Vikings with their wide receivers, with Thiel and Diggs.
But Tampa Bay is loaded offensively, and they're going to be really, really tough to beat. And I think they're even going to win at home against Pittsburgh on Monday night next week.
I tell you what, real quickly, if I'm Jameis Winston, I think you have to be like, I don't want to come in there and disrupt that. Because if I don't come in there and beat Patrick Mahomes or Ryan Fitzpatrick and throw four touchdowns, the fans are going to be looking like, why did you disrupt what we had happening? So you almost have to be more selfless if you're Jameis Winston and say, you know what, they got a really good thing going. And I wouldn't be wanting to be taken out if the starter got suspended and I came in and I, you know, had eight touchdown passes through 2 weeks and we were 2-0. Because you're playing with so much responsibility and so much more you're putting on yourself, and you're not playing to just go out there and play your game and be free-flowing. You got to have those things in the back of your mind, right, of I've got to live up or be better than what he's done against this quality schedule to start. We thought they were going to be 0-3, hands down, without Winston going in there with Fitzpatrick. If he's doing that, if you're Winston, you got to be like, you know what, you go ahead and do you, bro, until you fall flat on your face. I'm not trying to step into that pressure cooker because now I got to do more than I would normally do because I got to live up to what you just did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing about it is the reason why we thought they were going to be 0-3, it wasn't because Tampa didn't have the personnel. We used to think they had the quarterback to deliver to the personnel. But Fitzpatrick right now is playing like the guy who can help them. You know, it's almost like he's having a breakthrough, kind of like what Kurt Warner did with the Rams that year. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying the Bucs are going to the Super Bowl. Saying that yet. but he's almost having that breakthrough year, kind of like we saw Kurt Warner did with the Rams that year. And it's only two games, so we'll see. But starting out, he's having that breakthrough year, looks like.
Nice.
All right. Fitzpatrick, like you said, this is crazy how this may be the end of Jameis Winston and that, just because if Fitzpatrick played bad, then we wouldn't even be talking about this. But this has been crazy, and the team is rallying, man. So, you know, poor Jameis. It's all good. We talked briefly about I'm not saying it like that. I'm saying, like, man, it's like poor Jameis. from that perspective, you know, no one's crying for him.
Exactly.
We talked briefly about the Patriots and Josh Gordon. I don't think we have to touch on that as much unless you want to go back to that. I do want to talk about Mahomes, guys, and what's happened with that, man, because this guy is just like, for a rookie, man, I'm just impressed with him already, man. He's got some swagger, coming in there, gunslinging. Just looks like he is just at ease, man. And just for a second year guy, or excuse me, in his second game, he's just coming in and second year. Okay, I said that wrong. Okay, cool. That's what I was thinking. For a guy that's coming in, he just looks like he's got it, man. And I'm thoroughly impressed with his game. And like I said, no one's putting him in the Hall of Fame just yet. Slow down, pump your brakes. But again, you got to definitely be impressed with what he's doing right now, if you will, JQ.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you come out in the National Football League and you throw 10 touchdown passes and go to 2-0, even if they was 0-2. So 10 touchdown passes in the first 2 weeks, you put people on notice. Now, once they get some game film on him, you know, things will slow down. I still feel like he's got that Brett Favre in him. You talked about it, Rob, with that, the way it just comes out his hand. He's got that risk taking piece of it with Brett Favre in there. And I feel like at some point he's going to cost them a game or two trying to put one in the window because he relies on that cannon to throw into a window that, you know, maybe he could get it through, but it probably wasn't a good idea to try to get into that window. So, you know, I'm not going to put him in the Hall of Fame. I ain't going to anoint him quite yet. But you can't cool with 10 touchdown passes in 2 weeks. I mean, that's just flat out phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is another team we talked about in the preseason. You know, having the weapons offensively, but we didn't know if Mahomes could be the guy that can deliver this early for him. We talk about Tyreek Hill. We talk about Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt. So you look at a team that has the weapons, but we just didn't know if the quarterback situation was going to be up to par yet, especially with Mahomes' first year starting in year two. But so far, he is delivering and looking quite impressive. And like I said, the way that ball just flies out of his hands is unbelievable. But I look for him to be 3-0 this week and beat the 49ers as well.
Yeah, going into Pittsburgh, I give Pittsburgh a lot of crap because they're a rival. But going into Pittsburgh and putting 6 touchdowns on that steel curtain defense in the Steelers, and it may not be a steel curtain defense, that's still Pittsburgh playing in Pittsburgh. And going there in your second start and putting 6 touchdowns on them, it's quite impressive.
Yep.
Good call. All right, gentlemen, speaking of defensive performances, let's talk about what happened with the Patriots now. Now, granted, you definitely felt like the Jacksonville Jaguars were pretty much amped up to play the Patriots, and they put a nice little hurting on. And we're I'm flipping that. I'm talking about the Jaguars defense here now. But right now I'm talking about how the way that Blake Bortles played. They kind of trusted Blake this time and it looked like he learned from what happened last year. Was it more of the defense or was it more just the aggressive play calling from the Jaguars, JQ?
I think it's both. I think they learned that when they try to take the air out of the ball, you can't do that against Tom Brady. And he'll pick you apart and come and find a way to come back. So I love the fact that they stayed aggressive. And they really quietly, you know, that kid Cole with that catch, oh, my gosh. And D.D. Westbrook, you know, and Austin Ferrand, because they've got some weapons as well. And you feel like, okay, it was good to be not having Fournette, but Yeldon and Grant filled in, you know, admirably for him. But, yeah, them boys from New England did not like that heat down there in Jacksonville, for one. And me and Rob has talked about it. We talked about the past couple of years. That New England defense, you know, they made it to the Super Bowl last year in part because of Jacksonville trying to take the air off the ball instead of being aggressive. But they just are not, have not been for, what, 2-3 years, not been a defense that you look at and say that defense strikes fear. Even though Belichick is a wizard on defense, you still got to have, you know, the Joes to go out there and execute the game plan. And I just don't feel like they've had that on defense. So they, to me, are still regressing on defense. And you can't have that when Tom Brady's taking a pay cut and you only got, you know, a couple years left before he's gone. You got to do what you need to do to get him more chances at the Super Bowl. Not that I want that, you know, but if I'm saying objectively, looking at his window closing, kind of like what the New Orleans is trying to do, what they did last year for Brees, let's get a running game. Let's get a strong defense. Let's not, you know, let's extend our 40-year-old quarterback shelf life. I don't really feel like they're doing that. Tom Brady can't keep taking hits like that. So, you know, I think him taking hits like that is a byproduct of his defense. You know, I think Jacksonville had like an 8-minute drive or something like that in that game where they just went all the way down the field methodically and scored. So that New England defense is a lot to be desired.
Yep. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, they look just as bad or worse as they did in the Super Bowl against the Eagles last year. So we haven't seen any improvement from last year to this year with that New England defense as well. As JQ mentioned, Bill Belichick, his calling card throughout his career has been defense. That's where he's made his money. That's what got him to be a head coach. But for right now, they're just not performing on that side of the field right now. And they have some deficiencies on offense. They had 2 first-round picks in this past draft, and they spent them on Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel. To hope, to, you know, you look at it and you say, why didn't they pick any defensive players? I think their thought process was, let's improve our offensive line, which is also weak, and control the clock a little better to hope us to help us to improve the defense a little bit or keep them off the field a little bit. But that hasn't worked so far for the Patriots. So their offensive line is struggling, their defense is struggling, and that's a recipe for disaster right there. But the Patriots are going to find a way to mask some of these deficiencies that they have. But, you know, JK and I both talked about it last week. But we thought Jacksonville was going to be too physical for the Patriots in this game and win with or without Leonard Fournette. And that's exactly what happened. They didn't have Fournette, and they were still too physical for the New England Patriots. You know, I talked about Mike Gundy as a head coach in college football, but I even knew this before Doug Marrone got the Jacksonville job, too. He's also a very underrated head coach and was all a very underrated assistant coach as well before he got the head coaching job. So he's doing a phenomenal job there with Jacksonville, too. They're going to be forced to be reckoned with this year.
And give him a ton of credit for walking away from the Buffalo job. And everybody's like, how do you walk away from the NFL coaching job and land on your feet in Jacksonville and have the best defense in the league? So, yeah, I hear you. I mean, that's phenomenal for him.
Good call.
Absolutely.
Every time I see Eli Manning, it seems like he just has the most best looks for memes, man. That guy right there.
Poor Eli.
They're having some struggles right now offensively.
He almost looks like he's got a deer in headlights look on his face.
He always has that look, man. It's just something ain't right, man. What about the Giants, the offensive struggles, Rob?
Well, it's the same thing there. I mean, poor Eli Manning, man.
He's like, why am I here? Oh, Lord have mercy.
Man, they're going to put Eli into early retirement in New York, man. But, mm-hmm. yeah, those faces he makes, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be laughing because I don't want that to happen to Drew Brees. But,
He
has the funniest looks on his face. All the other deer headlights look. But, yeah, the Giants are really struggling offensively, particularly in the offensive line right now. And that's hurting them from getting the ball to Odell Beckham. They're finding ways to get the ball to Saquon Barkley in the passing game. But they're having trouble running the ball with Saquon Barkley right now because of the offensive line. So, I mean, they have some major issues as well. And, I kind of thought that they could be the second-best team in the division. But, there's definitely – it doesn't look like that is the case because of their deficiencies on that O-line. They're going to have to win games some kind of way with defense and find a way to patchwork that offensive line and have a ball-control offense. That's their only shot at the moment. But their offensive line looks atrocious right now. And they've spent a lot of draft picks in free agency in the offensive line, and it's still not yet working for them. And it's not like Eli is the most nimble guy in the world either. And at his age, that's really concerning for them going forward, too. Yeah, that's Andre laughing at those Eli Manning faces.
Yeah, and the thing about it is they just also lost their center in that game. I believe he broke his ankle. He's going to be carted off in that Sunday night game against the Cowboys. They made the Cowboys' offense look somewhat proficient. And we talked about how they don't have any weapons. And you come right out the gate and give up a big play. And we talked about them maybe being the second-best team in the defense game, but it helped them out some. I was really not all that impressed with the defense. I mean, they let Dak Prescott go around in on them on very key second and third downs in that game and get big yardage. Running the RPO on them, and it's like at some point you got to adjust to that, New York. So I agree, but I'm still a little, wondering what's going on with that defense. But yeah, that offensive line, they have too many weapons. We talk about Shepard and Ingram, OBJ and Saquon Barkley, to not be able to put up more points to be able to move the ball. It comes and starts with the offensive line, and we at this point it's going to be hard to find offensive line and pick them off the street, off a practice squad to make a difference for this season for them. So. We thought, like we said, that they might be the second-best team, but it's looking like that could really going to probably be the Redskins. I'm still not sold on the Cowboys, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But my word, Giants, that's pretty bad. It's awful, actually.
Yeah, they drafted Will Hernandez, and you thought he was going to – he looked really good at preseason.
Yeah, I was just thinking about him, too. Yeah.
And it just looks like he's just not quite there yet. It's just a situation where he just has to get acclimated and probably get the speed. But like you said, it's just tough. You're not going to get any help. You got to dig in and figure it out. We were surprised. I'm sure we weren't sure what was going to happen whenever we were picking that game last week, the Cowboys versus the Giants. We were like, oh, man, this is going to be tough, because what's happening with the defense. And then it's flipped now. We're looking like, man, look at what's happened with the Cowboys and look at Dak. So let's talk about the next topic, which is Dak and what's his ceiling, Rob, right now as far as what's happening with his play.
Well, I think what we're seeing out of Dak right now is pretty much the ceiling. I don't envision Dak being a Pro Bowl or elite quarterback in the league. I think his ceiling is being a respectable quarterback, that if he has a good offensive line, good running game, good defense, that he can lead you to victories and be smart with the football. But the quarterback that's throwing for 400 yards and four touchdowns, what you're seeing Patrick Mahomes doing right now, I don't envision that out of Dak Prescott. And so I think what we're seeing out of him now is his ceiling. And like I say, he needs a good running game. He needs a good offensive line. He can't turn the ball over. And you give him a good defense, he's going to help you win games. He can run for some first downs and here and there, keep you moving. But he's not going to be that guy, like I mentioned, is going to have a 500-yard passing game, 400-yard passing game, or 300 yards every week. That's just not who Dak Prescott is. So I think we've seen where the ceiling is.
I struggle with that one because I feel like we talked about it. Like when they were 13-3, they had the best offensive line in football, and Zeke in that rookie year just went crazy. But he also didn't really – they were able to mask some things, I think, as well. And that was what they were able to mask with. But they don't have playmakers on the outside, and that's why I reserve judgment. Because you're talking about he was throwing to a 43-year-old Jason Witten and an 85-year-old Dez Bryant, who had clearly lost a step to maybe a step and a half, who's still sitting at home on his Kyle's tweeting about where he wants to go play, and New England has made three separate moves for wide receivers. None of them been Dez Bryant. I'm just putting it out
there.
They tried to get Corey Coleman. They got Josh Gordon. Them in Cleveland with these trades is crazy. And they also went and got another receiver that didn't make it. Got Kenny Britt signed him. None of them have been Dez. So when we talk about what Dak has, I don't know if I can really give a strong opinion on him yet because he doesn't have the weapons on the outside where, like, you know what, he has too much talent on the outside where he's missing throws and throwing interceptions. He just doesn't have it. And if anybody would just play, you know, one, you know, assignment football where you take the running back and I take Dak, that's something he did against the Giants. I'm going to work against a good defense that knows that that's coming at this point. So I think they really are wasting some time with Dak. How you see Los Angeles with Goff go all in and try to sign these weapons, and then you look at what Dallas is doing, and you're like, why you got Dak still on a rookie contract. You should be trying to maximize that time with and Zeke on a rookie contract to go and get him some playmakers on the outside, and they kind of just sat out free agency. So and didn't draft it. You know, we all thought it was going to get maybe a Calvin Ridley or Cortland Sutton, and you go get the linebacker from Boise State, and you're like, okay, I guess, but you didn't help Dak out at all. So I really feel like Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are really doing Dak a disservice. So all that is, I don't know about Dak quite yet. I don't know what the ceiling is yet because I think he gets it incomplete because they just haven't given him the weapons to be able to fairly judge him.
Yeah, I can agree with that as far as the incomplete, but I'm going to say this because whenever you got Dak, you got him, was it third-round draft pick, you didn't expect him to do what he did, and he was able to kind of save the ship. Now, from that perspective, you're like, oh, wow, that's a nice surprise. But I guarantee you, Jerry Jones is looking at Patrick Mahomes and is like, I want one of that. I want some glory hole. He wants something just like that. He wants a gunslinger. And I guarantee you that's what the Cowboys are going to be looking at. Somehow, some way, somebody to kind of open up the offense and just kind of bring back some excitement, man. So that's what I think. I think,
well,
you know, Dak, like
weapons.
You said, Rob, yeah. What I'm saying. But at least, but you got to have a – you got to – I'm telling you, Jerry sees that, like, I want something like that. Because, again, I agree with Rob. This is kind of Dak's ceiling. You know what he – you know, he is what he is. He had a great offensive line. He was able to not make mistakes. But, you know, he's a very safe quarterback. He's like, hey, you know, he's able to do that. But he's not out there, man, whap, 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 doing it and just doing that, you know. So I really think that Cowboys are kind of, you know – yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, but yeah, you have every right to reserve judgment too, JQ. I'm just saying. Yeah, he didn't have the weapon, but he's not built like
at all.
He's not built to sit there and I'm just going to gunsling out here and sit back and pew, pew, pew. He's not that quarterback, you know. So
yeah, okay.
I mean,
yeah.
We can agree to disagree that. But I mean, again, but I'm not saying he's like terrible by any means. I'm just saying I don't think he's built like, and not many people are either. I'm not saying that from that perspective, but I'm just saying it's just you look at Mahomes, look at what he's doing, second year. I mean, he's got some weapons. Maybe it's the offensive play calling, whatever. But right now, Patrick Mahomes, like, he's going to be a problem. Dak, we're not thinking that Dak is going to be a huge, huge problem right now from that perspective. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that.
But, all right, let's keep this going here. Let's talk about this, and let's talk about Joey Bosa here. Showing some love to your Chargers, JQ, is surgery going to be an option for Joey Bosa? Go ahead, take it for the Chargers.
I think it could be. And my thing is, it's almost where if you do that, it's over for him for this year. If you're going to do that, you should have done that earlier and put him on injury reserve, then to return after 8 weeks so he could come back. But once you try to send him out to get rest and it doesn't work, and then you have to, because you burnt those 3 weeks up. And now you have to have surgery. That's just a terrible, terrible second, you know, season for Bosa there with the injuries. And the thing about it is he and his brother also got hurt in that game against TCU. They take such good care of their bodies. If you heard them talk about it, they spend an hour a day just stretching. You know, like these guys aren't out, you know, messing around. They're in the weight room. They're trying to take care of their bodies. It hurts me, of course, from being an Ohio State alum. And it really – it takes something back what we talked about, the Chargers and what we thought they could do this year, because he's just that important on the other side of Melvin Ingram when you can't concentrate on doubling Ingram because both will kill you. So with him not being there, that really hurts the Chargers. I know he's probably going to delay as much as possible to see if Russ can do it, but he may end up having to bite the bullet and say, if I want to have a 15-year career, I got to have surgery and get right for year 3 through 15. Sad.
Rob? Yep.
Yeah, from the way it looks, he made the decision to rest him and try to get him to heal and then have him back here in the month of October. So it looked like
He's definitely going to miss probably the next 2 weeks and possibly a game or two in early October, but expect him to be back. It looked like they're going to not go with the surgery option right now, but to give him rest and continue the healing process and have him back sometime next month in October. So the Chargers are hoping to get by without him until then. Obviously, still got Melvin Ingram. They weren't able to put much pressure on the Chiefs, Mahomes in week one, but they were able to generate pressure against the Bills this past Sunday. And he gets to a quad. I think they sacked Josh Allen 5 times. So they were able to still get to him. So we'll see from a week-to-week basis what kind of pass rush they can generate without Bosa. But this past week, like I said, going against a rookie quarterback, they were able to get to him.
All right, this is for Rod, man. I know we talk about a lot of interesting subjects here. And should the NFL eliminate kickers and ties? What say you on this one?
Well, I know there are a lot of fans out there who probably would love to get rid of kicking, but the game is still called football. And really, you know, you don't see the game being – you don't see the kicking game being involved in, you know, a good percentage of the game. And probably only, what, 20% of the plays may involve special teams or something like that, if that. So, obviously, you have to keep, you know, kicking, field goal kicking, punting, and all those kind of things. Those few elements in the game for it to continue to be called football. And as you can see, the kicking game is very important, and it costs some teams some games. So you have to be successful in that area. So I'm going to say no to getting rid of the kicking, and also no for getting rid of the ties, too. I mean, let's face it, these are grueling games. These guys are taking a beating on a weekly basis. I don't want to see games going into double and triple overtime in the regular season in the NFL. I mean, like I say, these games, these are grueling games. They're intense. And the wear and tear on the bodies. So I say for right now, keep the kickers involved. Keep the ties in the game. You just got to go out and you got to find the right pieces to perform in a kicking game. And I'll even use LSU for an example. You know, a lot of people are talking about the quarterback play at LSU here for the last couple of years. But one of the secrets to LSU hasn't been doing well in lately is field goal kicking as well. And that cost LSU a few games last year just from not having the field goal kicking in place. And now, you know, they're excited about the field goal kicker that they have. And you can see some improvement in that area for LSU as well in the kicking game. So it's just a very important element. And you just got to go out and find the right pieces to perform in that department.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add to that. I agree with both of those points.
I agree with you, Rob. And just as a side note, it's funny because I was thinking about whenever Paul Johnson went out and he made his priority get like a number one kicker, getting Harrison Butker, who is obviously playing for the Chiefs now. That was one of his that was one of his best like recruits. And he, for some reason, he went back and didn't get another kicker. And we got a terrible kicker now, some freshman cat missing extra points and crap. It's crazy. So yes, you got to realize how important. I think you said it earlier, too, that your job is to kick the ball. So, basically, if you don't do that, hey, you're out of a job. So, like you said, you know, they're spending a lot of time, energy, getting beat up. You know, that's the job of the kicker, win the game. And if not, you know, you're out of a job, point blank. So, that's a good call.
Yeah. That's one thing I give Les Miles a lot of credit. He would travel the world to find a kicker. He would go to Australia to find one.
Nice.
Yep.
Found the best one. Found the best one. And how important is that? Because they have some really fragile mindsets too, man. So and there's a great story about Jimmy Johnson.
Well, he didn't have
to. I think that's about. Good.
Yeah.
He didn't
have
to.
Quarterback. Have Adam Vinatieri. They don't have all those Super Bowl rings. You gotta have it.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I know one of the most all-time best quotes by Les Miles.
I'm sure you're gonna tell us.
One of the best quotes that Les Miles ever said. He didn't have the chess to play quarterback at LSU.
Oh, God.
He's been waiting to use that quote, Jake. Now you got it in.
Les Miles had a ton of them, man. Y'all remember Gunnar
Kill? Yeah, I'm sure he did. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I remember that joker.
Didn't he play at Cincinnati?
Who? Wait a minute.
Gunnar Kill.
Who played at Cincinnati? Yeah, he's a quarterback.
Yeah, he played quarterback in Cincinnati, right? Well, you know he initially committed to go to LSU, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he initially committed to go to LSU, and he decommitted, and he went to – initially he was going to go to, like, Notre Dame or somewhere. So he decommitted from LSU, and then he committed to go to Notre Dame. And I can't remember how he wound up going to Cincinnati. But when he decommitted, Les Miles said he didn't have the chest to play quarterback at LSU.
Yeah, that's deep. That's just taking a whole dude's manhood. He 18. Come on, bro. That's wrong.
I was going to say real quick, Rob, it reminded me of both you guys how Jimmy Johnson was talking about how he was going to sign a kicker for some reason when he was coaching the Cowboys. And one of the guys was like, you know, I just don't know if I could make it. And then the other guy was like, Coach, I can make that. And he signed a guy that was so confident. And that's kind of how you feel with kickers, right? If there's any shred of, like, ink and, like, any doubt, your mind is blown, bro. You can't have that guy. You got to have a guy, man. Psh, I can make that. And the win, psh, I got it. You know, so that's who the confident guy's going to win. You know, even if you miss, at least you're confident with it, right? So,
call it irrational. All right, gentlemen.
Yeah, we got two more topics.
Les Miles didn't say he didn't have the heart. He said he didn't have the chest.
Man, shut up.
Rob is still going. It's like Chuck Norris over here pulling out some quotes over here, man. All right, that's your job, Rob. Come with a Les Miles quote every week, bro. How about that?
Miles is crazy.
Oh, man. You going to do that, Rob? You going to have a Les Miles quote every week?
He's got enough of them. The grass tastes best at Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, he said that dude is nuts.
Maybe I've opened up.
He ain't Mike
Leach
crazy. He's crazy.
You can't predict crazy though, JQ. You can't predict crazy. That's one thing, man. That's one.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Oh my God. Man. All right, let's finish these last two topics here. I don't know why this is on. Is it time for Baker Mayfield yet? I don't know what this means. I don't think Tyrod has played bad. What are you trying to say in this? Is this time to kind of switch over or what, Rob?
Well, this seems to be a weekly question from fans and media and things of that nature. But I'm going to still say the answer is no. It's not time to go to Baker Mayfield yet. Obviously, I got a chance to see Tyrod Taylor play firsthand this past week. And outside of, you know, being, you know, he got pressured on a play. He had to, he kind of got off rhythm a little bit and threw an interception to Marcus Williams. Got the Saints back in the game. Outside of that play, that was probably the only mistake he made in that entire game. I mean, he controlled the clock. He controlled the football. I thought he played smart. Other than that one play, it was a one costly play. But I think they've been close here in these first couple of weeks, and I wouldn't make things just yet with Tyrod Taylor. I think he's given them an opportunity to win, and they just have come up short here in the first couple of weeks. But I would stick with Tyrod Taylor, and I think the Browns will get the Jets on this Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, they've had chances to win. I mean, it's just if they had a field goal kicker, they could really be 2-0. And then what would the narrative be around the Browns? You wouldn't even be talking about Baker Mayfield. I think he's done enough to keep them in games. He's not, you know, like we talked about Mahomes, he's not that guy that's going to threaten you like that where you have to do that. But he's also a guy, more often than not, that's not going to turn the ball over. So you're going to have to earn everything against him. That pass to Callaway was an absolute pretty pass and a dime. But then the kicker comes back and this is the extra point. So, I mean, you know,
that's crazy.
They do everything for him. If they had got blown out 2 weeks in a row, I think you can make more of an argument for that. But the fact that they've been more competitive than I thought they would be going into New Orleans with Drew Brees and company, I'm shocked at that. They were able to be that close. And a lot of that is the defense. But some of that is Tyrod being efficient with the ball and playing some ball control. And that's pretty much who he is. But when you're Cleveland, that's who you thought he was when you signed him. You knew he wasn't going to come out and be Aaron Rodgers and throw four touchdown passes. So I feel like, you know, you're close enough. You give them a little chance to see if they can turn the corner as a team. But if it starts to get out of hand, then you go to Baker Mayfield. But I think it's a little premature.
Yep.
Yep.
I agree. Rob said earlier they got some pretty talent on the offensive and defensive lines, and then they just don't quite have that running game just yet. But like you said, Tyrod is doing more than enough to keep them. You know, he's not making, like you said, too many mistakes, man. So that's all you can ask for from your quarterback, right? Just keep him in the game and hopefully get a player or two and just play mistake-free football. Don't hurt yourself, as they say, man. Let's finish the strong here, and let's talk about DeMonte Casey's hit on Cam Newton. Not that I'm totally proud of this moment as a Falcon fan. This is definitely a moment where, sometimes, whatever, Cam's a pretty big guy, and I get it, Casey's a little guy, but it's just one of those hits that, I think they got it right to check them out from the game. I know it's definitely changed the way that the NFL is calling a lot of stuff, too, as far as certain hits and little things like that. I'm just going to say it was right call, bottom line. Your thoughts, JQ?
No, that hit was egregious. And if they really want to say they want to protect the quarterback and clear the safety, I take it one step further. I think he should be ejected, suspended for the next game or due to the college rule where he doesn't play the first half. Because Cam Newton gave himself up on that play. He was clearly diving, and he leaked at him, he lunged at him, and hit him helmet to helmet. You can't have that. He was, there is no, oh, it was a bang-bang play. If you watch that play, and I watched it live, he was clearly giving himself up and he was well into his slide, and he launched himself at him is the word I was looking for. Launched himself at him, hitting him head-to-head. He didn't try to get out of the way or any of that. If you want to make a statement about we're cleaning it up, the head-to-head, to see the CTE, the concussions, all of that, and you call these bogus calls against Clay Matthews on a play that is just ridiculous, it can't be that he only gets ejected from that game. I really think if you want to make a statement, and again, I like the Falcons. For me, that just was a really dirty hit. And you can't have that. If you talk about cleaning those plays up, you got to send a message. I'm going to take a game check from you, bro. I see you in week four, and you got to make them sit down and learn from that. I just don't think just the game ejection was enough. I think you got to send a strong message. I don't think they will, but that was dirty enough, and it didn't get, you could have taken Cam out of the game on that play. And crazy suits and all that foolishness aside, you can't have that. And you got to let defenders know that, you can't do that, and that's just totally out of bounds, inappropriate behavior, and you got to hit him in the wallet. I don't think they're going to do it, but I just watched that live, come on, dude. You cannot dive into the dude's head when he's sliding to get himself up. That's just bad football.
Yeah, absolutely. And one good thing here is that you've seen this happen in years past where black quarterbacks don't get those calls. And so, in one sense, it was kind of good to see that the league did jump on that and, ejected them and things of that nature. And but the league has already come out and said won't be suspended. But, in a lot of times, black quarterbacks that get out and run and scramble have the athletic ability. They have not always gotten these calls in years past. So, for me, that was good to see that even though it was egregious that he went out and, they did, call and threw the flag instantly and got him ejected out of the game. Because in the past, they have not always gotten those calls. So on one side, that was good to see that they finally are trying to protect all quarterbacks and not just the prima donnas of the league.
Yep.
You just
good
can't
call.
Have
all
that.
All right, so hey, Rob. Yeah, 100%. We're in agreement with that. All right, Rob. I'm kind of nervous about the lady about to cut us off, man. So let's wrap this up, man. Another interesting talk sports with Talk, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate everyone for tuning in. We got your long show in tonight. I think we can put in about 94 minutes. So we had fun talking sports with you all. We're going to be back on the air on Sunday night this coming week. This coming Sunday night, we'll be back on 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Hey, congratulations to Elton Brand. Got promoted to general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers. 39-year-old Elton Brand has quietly hit the sports media and moved up to general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers. So congrats to Brand. We'll see what they get to here coming up here this coming season. But anyway, once again, we'll be back at you on Sunday night. I know we'll be right in the middle of the Sunday night game, New England and Detroit, so we'll keep you updated on that and everything that's going on in the football world this coming weekend. You don't want to miss it on Sunday night. Good night, people.
Yeah, we got to get some pennant races in there as well, and that won't be a football game by the time we get on air at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, it should be over.
I won't have too many boys there. We'll be a good nightcap for everybody to listen to the show after that game. Appreciate you for listening to us and downloading the podcast, and we'll holler at you next Sunday.
That's right. Shout out to Corey. Thanks for calling in. Check it in, bro. We appreciate you, even though you're a Saints fan. No hard feelings with that, man. Show some love. I have a couple of Falcon fans lined up next week. Depending on the outcome of the game, man. So, Rob, I'll be your enemy for this week, bro. It's all in good fun. We'll see what happens, man. One of us is gonna be sad. One of us is gonna be happy on Sunday. But we'll keep it going as always. Gentlemen, have a great week. As always, stay busy. JQ, have some love on Saturday, man. You'll knock it out of the park. Rob, be good, bro. We'll talk soon, okay, man?
All right.
Yes, sir. I appreciate
that.
Good night, people. Yep. No, man. Get out of here. Rise up.
All right,
we don't want none of that.